Welcome to Capital Conversations by the Venture Asset Management Initiative produced by IMD, your go-to podcast to understanding the dynamics in venture capital. In this new episode, we explore how the trusted venture capitalist builds relationships that empower founders with Siya Huchangia, partner at Seedcamp. Siya joined Seedcamp as an intern in 2014 and became a partner in 2017. Seedcamp is a leading European seed fund that has backed over 500 tech-driven startups, including SoRare, Revolut, UiPath, Wise, and Synthensia. With a unique 17-year record, Seedcamp cultivates deep, lasting relationships across its extensive network, supporting founders through its expert and talent networks. Seedcamp is currently deploying from its $180 million fund VI. It can lead investment and write checks of up to $1 million in super early stage companies, building foundational technologies spanning all sectors, including the likes of artificial intelligence, cybersecurity, open source software, health tech, and fintech. This episode will focus specifically on Siya's approach to providing effective advice and support to founders. We'll explore the importance of empathy in investor-founder relationships and how Siya balances this with the need to provide honest and potentially difficult feedback. We'll also uncover why Siya thinks trust, transparency, and effective communication are paramount in building successful partnerships between investors and founders.
As an early stage investor, we need to always remember that the founders are in the driving seat at the end of the day. And so there's a lot of uncertainty that founders need to deal with in that initial phase, because there are like so many unknowns still when you're pre-product market fit. And honestly, as a first investor, your role is to be a thought partner for the founders and help them with like the context you have about their company, about their own personal journey, and what you've seen across other companies to maybe fast track some of their learnings or avoid some of the pitfalls that are common in the early days. And I think the best way to do that is to be very, very transparent about what you can do, what you can support them with, and what you can't do. I think that's really essential in like setting the right foundation for this founder-investor relationship. And the challenge is that each company is very different, obviously. The founders come with a very different background, and you can't take a cookie-cutter approach to the advice you're going to provide. And you really need to, at the same time, if you feel that they are starting to go a bit maybe off track or that they are following behind on like the timeline that they had communicated, you still need to be able at that time to quite quickly deliver the feedback to them. And so I think often the role comes down to asking the right open-ended questions that will hopefully get the founders to get to the answer themselves. That's the ideal scenario. But of course, if things feel a bit off, you need also there to apply radical transparency and very much address the issue as soon as possible. But radical transparency doesn't mean that you can't be thoughtful about the way you're going to still deliver that feedback, right? So even like things like the medium of communication, is it something that you can address by text, or actually a lot of things are better addressed in person or at least over a call? The tone you're going to employ, all that does really matter in how receptive at the end the founder will be to the feedback you deliver. So I think that balance between being transparent, being thoughtful about how you provide feedback while still knowing what your role is and staying in your line as an investor and not stepping too much in the steps of the founder is quite key.
Siya shares with us a key learning moment where he realizes that a one-size-fits-all approach to advising founders can miss the mark, as truly impactful guidance adapts to the founder's unique style and stage, amplifying their strengths rather than molding them to standard practices.
One memory I have from my early days at Seedcamp, so it was a year in the role. It was February 25, and I had pushed hard for us to invest in this company called Revolut. And we were sitting in our office in London in Feb 25 with Nick, the founder, who has a very specific, direct style of communication. He's not the one who will give you long sentences to describe things. He's very much to the point, speak numbers, very clear about his goals and strategy. And I was in this meeting with him, trying to provide to him best practices when it came to approaching the fundraising conversations he had lined up for the following days. And I was a bit taking a cookie cutter approach to it, right? So I had my library of pitch deck that I thought were really good to try to inspire him. I was telling him about the things he should include in this kind of light data room you would need at that early stage. And he was there listening to me, and he was nodding at times and saying, yeah, that he will work on it, etc. But I think my mistake there was to not understand that with what he had already delivered on the product front, with how far they were, rather than trying to force him to just fit in the mold of a typical very early stage founder pitching his company and his vision, he could fully embrace his very factful way of presenting his achievements. And that with that, actually, probably most smart investors would see that they are far ahead, because they were actually weeks away from being able to launch, than what you would usually see at that very early stage. And so I think for me, this story and this meeting I recall quite well, because literally in the following days, he got his term sheet from Balderton and they were off to a great start with then the launch, etc. Is a good reminder that, yes, it's good sometimes to show what best practices look like to the entrepreneurs, but at the end, it's really critical to think first principle about what are the strengths of this individual, what is the context of this company, what have they already achieved, and how can you play to the strength of the founder and their very specific story.
As founders mature, effective investors adapt by sensing when to step back and give them space, or step in with guidance, balancing hands-on support with fostering independent, rapid experimentation. By helping founders distinguish meaningful insights from noise, investors enable a culture of fast, focused learning critical to scaling.
What is critical is to get a sense for the tempo of the company, right? I think that with time and experience working with early stage founders, you get better at that as an investor. And there are clearly moments where, as a very early stage investor, you should a bit retract and give space to the founder to just be heads down, and other times where you need to be much more hands-on. And getting a good feel for when to play a bit that dance the right way, I think, is essential. Obviously, as an investor, you're also there to provide the founders with general market sentiment about their space, about also the funding environment for their venture, etc. So that's also a role that you can play throughout the journey of the company. But what is really essential from my experience in those early days, and it does compound over time, is this speed of action and experimentation that the founders have. And if you think of the company as this living organism, almost the speed at which this organism is learning is critical. Because if you manage to create a culture of fast experimentation and you're good at actually just assessing the result of those experiments and taking those learnings, iterating, that can really take you really, really far. And that applies to the way you build your team, to the way you think about your product roadmap, and the way you iterate also on your go-to-market strategy. And so as investors, I think we need also to give space to the founders to try a lot of things, but keep them honest also about the results of those experiments so that we understand what are the ones that were fruitful and help them also just decipher a bit the signal from the noise, which is not always easy when you're a founder and you're just heads down executing, having like conversations after conversation, being in the nitty-gritty of your product. I think a good investor can help the founder elevate himself a bit and see where the real signals are.
SIA relies on the immediate responses of founders and their willingness to act on feedback, often seeking input from colleagues or other founders for diverse perspectives when needed.
You need to assess the effectiveness by thinking about the founder's response to the feedback. I think that's the best way to assess if the feedback was actually useful or not, because you are not really able to like truly assess the outcome before a very long period of time. The feedback loop is so long. So just based sometimes on communication cues that the founder would give you, seeing if he's receptive on the spot or not to like what you're sharing with him or the questions you're asking him. And based on that, I think you can then also see if the actions then follow or not, and if he's been like receptive to maybe the piece of advice or the recommendation you are pushing his or her way or not. And I think that's probably the main way that you can somehow assess the effectiveness of advice at that early stage, because everything is so contextual and there's so much uncertainty that the founders deal with. And at the end of the day, yeah, you're there to ask often those open-ended questions and see if the founder is somehow welcoming them and sometimes also responding positively to the challenge, or if he's quite dismissive about the points you're making. And then, of course, we built a team at SitCamp with different personalities, areas of strengths, etc. And so often also I would go back to my colleagues if there is a situation where I'm maybe unsure about what like the best advice would be, how to deliver a certain feedback. If I'm not the best messenger, someone else in my team, or sometimes even another founder in our portfolio might be better positioned to do that. So that's a bit the way we approach this.
SeedCamp minimizes distraction by using the Problems, Plans, Progress, or PPP framework for structured updates and regular check-ins paired with informal communication through WhatsApp. This approach keeps advice concise and relevant, allowing founders to focus on what truly drives progress without feeling overwhelmed.
I think there are two aspects to this. So on one hand, we have a few simple processes that do help us just create a good mechanism of delivering feedback, tracking the progress of the company, etc. And so the way we do that is that we encourage all our portfolio companies to, from the moment we've invested, start putting in place what we call a PPP. So the PPP stands for your problems, your plans, and your progress. And so those three P's, like basically it allows you to, on a either biweekly basis or monthly basis, to just as a founder elevate a bit yourself, have this helicopter view of the business without feeling the burden of having to write an essay about what is happening to the business and all that. And so this is a good mechanism because it's coupled also with regular touch points with the founders. So we'll have always a recurring call invite that we have in the calendar that usually would follow the distribution of this PPP. It allows us to have the context, have a bit this view on what are the real-time priorities of the founder and what they've been working on, and have then that discussion of like 30, 45 minutes to see on one hand how we can potentially help them, but also sometimes signal to them that as you're looking at this trail of PPP from the past 6 months, maybe we are falling behind somewhere, or that we are back to a point that we thought we had agreed on 2 quarters before. And so that's a simple mechanism that we found to be very powerful in those early days, and that fits well the fact that you want something that is enough light for the founders to just use as a update format, but at the same time provides the right level of information context and hopefully even helps the founder themselves be more strategic in the decision they take. And in parallel of that, of course, we also have our WhatsApp groups with the founders. So as soon as we invest, and increasingly even before we invest, we try to get them on WhatsApp because it allows us to just build more informal communication with them, very much provide advice or feedback on the fly rather than with a long time lag. And so the PPP, the recurring calls, and the WhatsApp chat is a good way that we found to just be close enough, be always a message away, be super responsive, but at the same time, not overburden the founders. Because it's, of course, really important to respect the founder's time. And you really want at any point in time in their journey to help them focus on the one or two things that will really matter and move the needle, especially in the early days when at the end, your organization is still pretty simple. We are a big believer that in that phase where you're looking for product market fit, often teams of, let's say, 7-8 people are enough to really move fast, be able to still work on product, on go-to-market, try things, and see if there is like a positive response or not from the market to what you're building. And so in that phase, you can do that much even you should think of. And so our role will be often to, based on the circumstances of the business, really help the founder focus on those one or two elements that will move the needle.
Seedcamp builds trust with first-time founders through transparency and consistency, clearly communicating their investment strategy and policies from the start. This fosters an open environment for honest discussions, making it easier to tackle challenges together. Their team emphasizes emotional intelligence and responsiveness, ensuring strong support throughout the founder's journey.
I think that transparency and consistency from the first interaction onwards is absolutely critical. So even on my first chat with a founder, I will be very specific with what are our check sizes, what is our decision-making process, our ownership target, our strategy around follow-on, and how we manage the risk of signaling anything to the market. And in our case, we have a pretty clear strategy when it comes to follow-on, where basically we're not looking to double down on companies on those subsequent rounds, in the sense that we are building our ownership on that initial check, and then we are looking on the subsequent round to just preserve that ownership. So we're not going to do cherry picking of, hey, those are the two companies we are higher conviction on. So we're trying, in the case of Seedcamp, to move from, I don't know, 7% ownership to 12 or 15% here. And on those other ones, we're just not going to invest. We're going to have a pretty clear strategy there of, hey, we are ready to like follow on from the moment there is a externally led round. You can count on our pro rata. And that helps with the messaging towards the founder, towards the ecosystem. And I do think that level of clarity from the get-go is pretty essential, and you want also to be crystal clear on what you believe in and how somehow it influences the support you can also bring to the founder, right? So in our case, we are true believer in the fact that at every stage of building a company, there are a handful of stage specialized investors that can be the best partners there to really help you on the challenges that you're dealing at this stage. And so we are trying to be that really best-in-class investor for European founders from the first check we are investing up to the Series A. Beyond that, we'll keep that relationship, but we will obviously not really be as hands-on as we are in that initial phase, and we will do our best to try to get our founders to raise from the firms that are the best for dealing with some of those challenges that come post product market fit and as you start scaling your business. And I think being clear there, and also from the get-go, creating some safe, trust-based environment with the founders is essential, because you are a bit in this honeymoon phase, right? At the start, when the founder is pitching you, when you commit, and when you start working with the founder. And if you've managed to build the right level of trust initially, and this kind of feeling of, hey, this is a safe environment where we can speak about everything, when things start to get more difficult, that's an amazing asset, because there will be no awkwardness to like discuss also some of those like tougher topics. And also, finally, it comes down to the team we've built, right? I think that each of us in the team come with very different personalities, areas of interest, but we have a common set of value, and we've been also hiring for what I would qualify as high emotional intelligence. And given how human-driven is the work, especially at the stage we invest, I think that's essential. So we don't take ourselves too seriously. We are there for the founders, very responsive, always a WhatsApp message away. And we can be also informal, direct, and have like hopefully a relationship that allows us to deal with obviously the good moments, but also with some of the tougher moments of company building.
Seedcamp rebuilds potentially strained relationships with founders by leveraging initial trust, practicing active listening while demonstrating transparency. They openly discuss biases and constraints to realign goals, emphasizing that personal interactions are crucial for addressing tensions and avoiding poor decision-making.
Clearly, we rely on the fact that we'll have hopefully created this trust-based, safe environment from our initial interactions with the founder. And then when things get a bit tougher, it comes down to a few common sense practice, I would say. So it comes down to active listening, to really sensing all the also nonverbal cues that sometimes the founder will give you about their own emotional state, their level of stress and all that, and transparency. And also sometimes I think showing some level of vulnerability. I think that helps really somehow change the tone of the conversation when things can feel a bit more transactional and all that. Because yes, of course, it's still a business relationship, but there are humans behind that business relationship. And sometimes it comes down to simply, you know, acknowledging each other's biases, being hyper-transparent about also some of the constraints that you are dealing with as an investor. You have a fiduciary duty. Obviously, you are there like to try to maximize the value creation also. And I think if you are able to speak openly about those things and then hopefully find also some common ground and bring it back to, let's say, a common goal or mission, that's a good way to realign the relationship. But that's obviously something that is not easy and it takes time sometimes, and you need to invest in like spending that time in person with the other person, like really have the conversations, because sometimes there can be anger, stress, and other elements that mean that what is actually not as big problem as it would look like for the founder can look as something pretty dramatic and quickly bubble up. And that tension can then lead to poor decision making and unnecessary animosity between the investor and the founder.
Seedcamp promotes a culture of direct communication and teamwork focused on honest yet caring feedback to build strong, lasting relationships with founders. They enforce strict standards of transparency while addressing issues promptly to set up a positive example. While they aim to instill valuable practices, they respect each startup's need to develop its own unique culture independently.
We've developed over the years a pretty unique culture at Seedcamp. The way we've, you know, built our team also is slightly unusual, with pretty much everyone in our investment team starting very young, sometimes straight out of university or maybe their first professional experience, and then growing and developing those talents internally. And we have a true team player approach to venture. And I do think that this mix of being team players, also being somehow direct in the feedback, and that maybe comes also from the fact that Reshma, who started Seedcamp, that's also her personality. She's a much more direct American style communication than a lot of people would be in Europe. And being direct, but at the same time showing that we truly care, because I think you can also provide tough feedback, but in a caring way. I do think that has allowed us to build strong relationships with the founders we back that really last over time. And even at times where, you know, we are 7-8 years in the journey, and that on a day-to-day or week-by-week basis, we are less involved in like their company building, but the relationship is still there. And I think it's because also we are quite strict on things that are like non-negotiable. So when it comes to lying or disguising the truth, etc., we set very, very strict boundaries. If we see any hints of that with our portfolio founders. And so I do think that hopefully, in the rare cases where we see hints of that, us addressing it very quickly sets the right precedent that allows them over time to keep that also as part of their way of operating their culture. But I'm also very conscious that at the end, as a venture firm, you develop your internal culture that works for you and to deal with your job at hand. But it's not about projecting also that culture to the companies you back. I mean, the most successful companies in our portfolio, yes, they have had this speed of execution and of organizational learning that you could see from the early days, but the way they developed their internal culture does change a lot from one to the other. Hopefully, if we can instill some of the values that have served us at Seedcamp in them early on, it can then give them a good foundation to also just develop their own culture, their own processes and best practices.
As we wrap up this conversation with Siya Huchania, three takeaways emerge from the conversation. The first is that empathy is key between both investors and founders, which will ultimately foster strong relationships. The second is that advisors must adapt their style based on the founder's growth and the company's evolving needs, balancing guidance with the founder's autonomy. A third and crucial point is that a positive and transparent culture set by investors can influence but should not overshadow the unique culture of each startup, allowing founders to cultivate their vision. The journey of both founders and investors must be a mutual fit, as their success relies on aligning values, communication styles, and shared goals. You've been listening to Capital Conversations from IMD. To learn more about our courses, you can go to imd.org. See you next time.